So we're back. This is 3CR. It is 8:11. No, 8. It's just gone 8:12 a.m. in the morning. And we were just listening to A Matter of Time by Dobie, who is a First Nations musician. The song is about action over against over-irrigation crisis in the Murray-Darling Basin. And it's a great song.
All right. So I want to kind of join. I want to introduce that we have Rachel Evans on the line for our first live interview of the program. So Rachel Evans is a member of Social Alliance, but is also a Palestine activist with City of Sydney for Palestine. And we thought we would have her on the program, especially since she actually wrote an article, published an article recently for Green Left, kind of reflecting and reporting on the significance of the Harbour Bridge protests that took place over the weekend in Gadigal land in Sydney. So, Rachel, good morning.
Good morning, team. How are we going?
Good morning, Rachel.
Yeah. So, just to start off, Rachel, what can you give us a bit of your a bit of an eyewitness report on like the significance of the Harbour Bridge protests and, you know, why what it kind of means for the Palestine Solidarity Movement?
Yeah, look, it was an amazing rally, absolutely spectacular, probably the third or fourth largest rally I've been to in my lifetime, and it was the second largest anti-war rally in Gadigal country with 300,000 people, and the first one was the anti-Iraq war one in 2003 in the harbour, in Hyde Park North. But this bridge action went global, and it was very staunch because the ALP Min state government attempted to stop it. There was driving rain, it was cold conditions, and yet people just kept pouring out of the station. And it just had so many different elements of Gadigal country, but also people from interstate. There was a few people who just flew in for the day and flew home again from Melbourne. And yeah, it was just a very widespread uprising and support for the protest movement for Palestine. We also had 300 groups sign on, so it was a rapid rally organising. It was really within 1 week that the rally over the bridge was called, and the Mins government, New South Wales police, took us to court the Friday before the rally on the Sunday, and we didn't know if we were going to win the court case, and we did. And then it was announced on 10:30 on Saturday that we'd won the court case, so the rally was the next day. So it was just, yeah, quite an amazing event to have pulled off. And, of course, the demands were very staunch. Sanction Israel, aid for Gaza, end the two-way arms trade, immediate ceasefire, and withdrawal of Israeli forces from Gaza. So very good demands, and a cross-section of the population. The churches turned up, the unions turned up, Craig Foster, a large swathe of the ALP MPs, not just from Sydney. So there was 15 MPs in New South Wales signed on and endorsed the rally about 4 days out, and that included 5 ALP MPs, which represents a break, quite a public significant break with the Labor Party, which we want to we want to develop. And then also we had Bob Carr, who was a former foreign minister, marching up the front as well, with Julian Assange. So, yeah, it was very significant.
Yeah.
And what can you kind of tell us? I guess I want to kind of hear a bit more about, you know, what do you think is some of the significance of the fact that one of the amazing kind of aspects of the protest was the fact that, you know, it has shown that because one of the kind of arguments that I think the government has been kind of putting against the Palestine movement, and they've been trying to ride on this sort of fact. They're trying to make out that, you know, the people sort of marching for Palestine, they're just a minority. They, you know, they're part of the fringe kind of left. They represent a kind of minority in society. That's why we can just get away with, you know, painting the Palestine Solidarity Movement as anti-Semitic. This is why we can paint them as like just being a bunch of radicals who don't represent the ordinary so-called kind of Australia. But what was quite striking about the Harbour Bridge protest was you did have the presence of Labor figures, but you also had the presence of, you know, a much broader audience that reflected a much larger diverse section of the Australian population. I guess, what do you think about that? What can you comment about some of the significance of this and how, you know, the Palestine movement is actually winning over a much larger masses of people than it has in the past?
Yeah, so look, that's a really good question. And look, just one of the most amazing shots and little videos that came out was people standing at Wynyard Station waiting patiently to get up the escalator to the road which led to the bridge because it was packed. And so really people started streaming out from 11 a.m. in the morning. The rally started at 1. And people were still climbing up the escalators by 3 o'clock. And between 1 to 2,000 people got turned away as the police closed the bridge. But there was one scene where the train announcer said, you know, and you'll walk up here and there's George Street and you'll turn to the left and there's the bridge. So she was giving logistics, but then she said, and let's make this happen, free, free Palestine. And the whole crowd erupted. It was just electric. And that didn't happen just once. It happened twice. So there was that. And then we were marching over. And the people who do the tourist bridge walk, they're all dressed in blue and they're, you know, tied to the harbour bridge in a health and safety way. But they stopped and cheered with us. And the whole crowd around us, of course, just erupts. They weren't there for the protest. They were there for the $200 a ticket bridge up the bridge walk. But, yeah, that represented the kind of, you know, we are everywhere. But then the polls also suggest that there was recent polls coming out saying, oh, here's a plane, 86% of the population want the government to do more to help feed Gaza and stop the war. So actually, and these are all of the polls that are now coming out in the First World Global North countries. The majority of the populations want their government to stop supporting Israel. And so this is all of the hard work, the patient work that we've been doing in our local groups, in our bigger rally, city organising groups, in our unions, chipping away at the Zionist argument and the Labor Party's intransigence and support for Israel on so many levels. So it is working. And look, the one thing that was also pretty amazing about this rally, so Minns is a very Zionist premier here in New South Wales. He stuck the Israeli flag colours on the Sydney Hub Opera House sales on October the 9th in 2023, and he's tried to outlaw protests in front of religious institutions. He also, you know, argued it was going to be total chaos. It'd be too much money for us to walk over the bridge. It's logistically impossible. So he threw a whole bunch of things against the rally and then, of course, the Supreme Court case. Everyone turns up, and then what happens is that the police turn us back, and people would have seen this in the news. Then Minns and the New South Wales police come out and say, chaos, possible death, total danger, perilous, blah, blah, blah. When we got turned back, because there was too many people to go down this small foot road to Bradfield Park, people were totally calm, patient. We just adhered to the PAG organisers and also the police instructions to turn back, and we did a lap. But and that was also the Minns government just having to throw so much at us. I'd also note that the ABC, on the morning of the rally, ran an article saying that the location had changed, and this was not true. So we were getting calls from people saying, oh, are you not starting at Lang Park? We were like, no, don't believe anything they say. You know, just look at the Palestine Action Group page. So they threw a lot at us, and then Minns came out on Wednesday in New South Wales Parliament and tried to put legislation forward that would commodify the ability to protest. So you get three free protests, and then you'd have to pay for the police after it. So they didn't get that through, but they're always pushing. And, of course, people have woken up to the news that Netanyahu's saying that they're going to take control of all of Gaza, and an authority will be handed over to a third party soon. So, you know, we just have to keep on organising, but we've got this wind in our sails because we had such an amazing success, massive rally, and now we're reorganising because people also would have seen. Here's another marathon moment. Aeroplane, my plane. People would have seen the response to the rally from the ALP leadership from Penny Wong was $20 million for aid. And the figures on how many people have been shot, it's 1,400 people have been shot by snipers who are trying to reach aid. So that whole $20 million aid just comes with a whole sickening sense to the stomach. And then Albo said, we're going to call Netanyahu. And then you had Minns try and outlaw protest again. So, you know, we haven't had much from the Labor Party government, but we know they're squirming, they're under fire, and we're going to just keep mobilising.
So, Rachel, obviously this would have been a first-time rally for many of those people that participated. In fact, I saw a post that was shared by a Jewish woman who said she had been confused by, or torn about going to rallies, and then she'd gone to this one on Sunday and she said she only felt love from other protesters, that as she was walking along, she was holding a sign, that people were making signs of hearts and or mouthing thank you at her, so that she was so happy that she went. And watching it, of course, brought a tear to my eye, and I'm sure to lots of other people's eyes, about just seeing how moving and inspiring this was. I guess your question now is how to build on this, and also, as you said earlier, how to encourage that break in the ALP. What are your plans going forward?
Yeah, it was really important to have the anti-Zionist Jewish contingent there, and Anthony Lowenstein spoke on the platform. It was also really important to have Julian Assange there. He didn't speak, Bob Carr next to him and Antoinette Latouf and Mary Kostakidis, all of the kind of key figures who have been hammered by the Zionists and the journalists and so on, the truth tellers, very important to have them there. I think, our next steps are August the 24th. So that's a National Day of Action that's been initiated by Palestine Action Group here in Gadigal Country, Sydney. And we're calling on all local groups and cities to mobilise on that day. Again, with a similar demand. And then we're also, the NTU, National Tertiary Education Union, is calling for a union-initiated day of action on September the 10th. There's a sign-on sheet for both rallies. And I'm sure you can get it from Jacob or any of the awesome team there in Melbourne. Sign on to that, keep the pressure on. And I guess just generally that capitalism is endless war. So this is, in one way, this is new for us. Well, you know, I'm 50 now, and so I got rebellious and radical during the Iraq War. But we have never seen anything like this, a genocide on Instagram. Every morning we wake up to the pictures and the images of Israel's genocide. And this complicity of the Western imperialist governments, their support and aid, it's something that we have to break. But capitalism is in its very dangerous last phase. And so we need to, as the chant says, we need to globalise intifada. We do need a revolution, and we've got to organise against this war machine. So I'm also keen on coming down to NAM for this Eco-Socialism Conference 2025 and collaborating with everyone on our next steps across the region to resist imperialism.
Yeah, really happy that you were able to speak with us this morning. For listeners tuning in, we're talking to Rachel Evans, a Palestine solidarity activist from Gadigal Country, about the significance of the Harbour Bridge Palestine protests. And, yeah, what an incredible moment in history, comrade. We saw the pictures and all those umbrellas, that people embraced the rain, and just a massive show of solidarity, but also exercising their right to protest against a genocide. Which was really good to see. Is there any last, anything else that you would like to say before we wrap up the interview, Rachel?
No, I guess the other thing that we're looking at in Gadigal country is the police repression in Naam. So solidarity and strength to all of those being more hammered by the police down there. And we're going to get them. Keep organising.
Yeah.
Yeah.